Let me get right to our guest today. Neil Steinberg is on the Seekonk Supply Hotline, and I sure appreciate his time on this Friday morning. Good morning, Neil.
Good morning, Tara. Glad to join you.
Great to hear from you. It's been a while, and you've been doing the good work, and everybody's been donating, and I don't think a lot of people are all that familiar, believe it or not, because, you know, you're kind of quietly giving out scholarships, raising money and supporting small businesses, looking at health care, you know, basic human needs. I mean, the list goes on and on. And now the Rhode Island Foundation is definitely a forefront. I'll ask you first off, I mean, do you feel that? Do you feel like there's a lot of attention? Are you getting a lot of phone calls because David Cicilline is going to replace you?
Yeah, so the obvious answer is yes. Text, phone calls, emails, kind of off the charts, because it has become, because of David's situation and his position nationally, become national news. It's kind of fun to hear the Rhode Island Foundation mentioned on CNN, even though they don't know what it is. But we're focused on our work here. And so, you know, 100% of my time with all the publicity and everything on David joining us, which is great. But we're focused on what we do and doing it for Rhode Islanders every day.
And so for people out there saying, wow, you know, they're hearing a lot about the money, in particular with David Cicilline and how much he made in Congress. He's been there for so long and now come over and make, what, $650,000 a year. But you're also raising millions and millions of dollars in gifts and awards and scholarships. So let's get rid of that. I mean, the Providence Journal is breaking down all the different nonprofit salaries. And people go, oh, well, you know, I don't want it to be a negative, you know, and I'm sure you don't. So let's right that ship. How do you equate the salaries, the money, but the money that's coming in and then being dispersed out?
Yeah. So, you know, as far as the compensation, the thing that people need to realize is we're a large national organization when you benchmark. So there are over 750-800 community foundations, and we're among the top 20 largest. So the compensation, it's totally up to the board of directors and different committees of the board to benchmark. But these are our benchmarked compensation figures against similar sized organizations across the country as a large organization, large philanthropic organization, a large foundation. So that's that. You know, it's not necessarily, I know it's large, and I don't downplay that for Rhode Island, but we're a very large organization. As you said, we're $1.3 billion of assets. That means we have a permanent endowment that is $1.3 billion built up from very generous donors over many years. You know, we give out over $80 million. We raise $70 to $80 million a year. These are major philanthropic, major foundation benchmarks, and that's where it comes from. And I know it's a lightning rod sometimes to look at those dollar figures, but if you look at it and how large we are, our operating expenses are well in line. You know, 1% of our assets is what our operating expenses are. So we're 50 people, and we do a whole heck of a lot with and for people in Rhode Island. And we're a community foundation, again, one of the oldest and largest. Not many people know what that is, but we're whoever is listening, we're Rhode Island's community foundation, and we're here to work with a wide range of generous donors of all sizes to make their dreams come true. What would they like to see their money go for? Sometimes they'll give it to us and say, you know better, you make the grants, and we do that. Sometimes they'll say, we want it for this organization. Or sometimes, as you referenced, you know, one of the greatest uses is for scholarships. And just as a PS, while I've got the platform, I would encourage all your listeners to go to our website and look up the scholarships. With so many kids needing help going to college, there's tons and tons of scholarships available for nursing programs, for different schools and things, and it's a real service. And then we're by far the largest funder to nonprofits. You know, we fund over 2,300 nonprofits and millions of dollars, and that's a big responsibility. So we focus on education, on health, economic security, but we're funding the arts, we're funding housing, we're funding basic human needs, environment, because of that. And when I say we're the largest funder, I honestly say it very humbly, because I wish we were the 10th largest funder. I wish there were 9 other big funders in the state of Rhode Island. to get money into here to do good work. And we touch all Rhode Islanders. We're doing grants for community events. We're doing grants to improve education. We're heavily involved in all the housing issues you all have been reporting recently.
Yeah.
And then the third leg of the stool is civic leadership. So that's where you started to see more and more over the years. We've worked to work with state leaders and local leaders to supplement. We do long-term planning on education and health. We're honest brokers, as you heard. And I know I heard David's quote. We're big conveners. So we can get a meeting and have the Commissioner of Education and the union heads and the superintendents all in the same place. We can get the hospital CEOs and the insurance companies and others, regulators, all in the same place to work out issues for a better Rhode Island. That's our mission, is to be here and to benefit and to meet the needs of all the people of Rhode Island.
Well, Neil, it's maybe we don't need a General Assembly or any kind of...
Not true.
Maybe we don't need all this government interference. We just need the Rhode Island Foundation, because you seem to be able to get things done.
Well, you know, and a good example, there's two good examples of us working together. So I would not say that. I think we need our leaders, and I respect our leaders. But this past year, you may have seen $20 million of federal funds, recovery funds, the ARPA funds, were given to the Rhode Island Foundation in last year's budget. First time we ever got a state appropriation, specifically to make grants for housing, for food insecurity, mm-hmm. for mental health and substance abuse issues. So we set up a program, which we've done for the state before, to give out grants, $50,000 to $150,000, to name organizations that you would recognize in those areas, because that's our core competency. We know how to run a grant program. We know how to get the money out. Recently, we were asked to help, and we will, getting some of the opioid money out the door, because we just don't have a lot of bureaucracy, and we have the expertise to get these grants out the door very quickly for the state.
So, Neil, you've been at the helm. This is Neil Steinberg, the CEO and president of the Rhode Island Foundation. You've been at the helm of this highly successful organization for 15 years. Congressman David Cicilline is coming in. Was he your pick? How does it come about? I know there's a board. I know. Yeah. But how did his name come up, and when did that all start?
So I actually announced a year ago, last May, mm-hmm. that I was going to leave in a year to give the board the chance to do whatever they needed to do in a search and all of that. And so they started a search process. They hired a search firm, was very public, Spencer Stewart. They formed a search committee, which was a subcommittee of board members, and they did what search committees do. It was a true national search, and I was not part of that. It's not my job to pick the next CEO. They need to decide what attributes they want and do it very independently. So I was not involved in that process. The search firm both takes a lot of applications, and they do what they do. I think David has made public that they approached him sometime in the past and to see if he was interested, because that's their job. They just drum up interest and they go look for people. But the bulk of them were people that also applied in a very public process, mm-hmm. and in a national process. I know there were national candidates. And then the board, narrowed it down and interviewed finalists. And again, it was the board decision. That decision was made Tuesday morning. And then it went public.
And that is, it's a private entity, right? So people say, well, I wonder who else went for the job. David Cicilline, Congressman Cicilline, said he didn't apply for it. He got a phone call about it from the
right.
board.
Yeah. So the challenge is, while everybody wants to know that, the main reason that you don't divulge who the other candidates were is for their benefit. You know, if Tara, you're applying for a new job, you may not want your employer to know that you are a candidate for a new job. So I know the search committee and the search firm had to respect the confidentiality of the applicants. There's no reason we would, and most organizations would not make public who the candidates are. We're not a state entity.
Well, you don't have to, is my point, right? You don't have to.
Correct. We don't have to. This is not, you know, the superintendent of schools where right. everybody wants to meet them. But we got a tremendous amount of community input. We had surveys out there. The search firm talked about 50 different people, donors, grantees, leaders in the community that they talked to get input for this.
Neil Steinberg from the Rhode Island Foundation on the line with me. Just you mentioned off the top, and when we were talking about now, there's a lot of eyeballs and a lot of ears open. Because Congressman Cicilline is leaving, and then we've got a special election. And what is this Rhode Island Foundation? So all of a sudden, you're kind of pushed into the spotlight. And you mentioned, it was mentioned on CNN. The Rhode Island Foundation was also thrown into a conversation on Fox yesterday, and they say, there's an organization in Providence, Rhode Island, where the Providence Public School District is, they're saying, they're criticizing a program that I do believe comes from the Rhode Island Foundation, where you will make good on loans for teachers of color. This is Fox News. So this is the Legal Insurrection Foundation, very right-leaning.
Right.
This somehow got to them. He jumps up on Tucker Carlson and says, it's not fair to the white teachers. Now, this is something that may have been going on for years. Now, all of a sudden, you're shoved into the political limelight here.
Yeah, and to be honest, we stay true to the work. So, in the city of Providence, 80% of the kids are kids of color. And about 10 to 20% of the teachers, it's been well documented that if the teachers, we have more teachers that look like the kids, they respond better to learning, and there's a teacher shortage. So all of those things are just, they're well known. We had the opportunity, and actually a lot of what we do is donors come to us and say, hey, could you put together a program where we could recruit and retain more teachers of color? It's not anything against other teachers, just that's an area, just like could be science teachers. But there was a shortage. And so that's what we did. We put together a program. Donors are funding it. It's not any city or state money. And it is to help pay back loans for teachers that come to Providence and stay in Providence for a few years. We did that in the past to recruit primary care physicians. There's a shortage of primary care physicians. Several years ago, we were involved in that and helping loan repayment. But a lot of what we do because there's a need and because there are donors that are interested in meeting that need.
So, Neil, one more question now. So a lot of attention is on the Rhode Island Foundation because, listen, David Cicilline, if you picked a national person who ran a giant corporation and multi-billion-dollar corporation and brought them in for the Rhode Island Foundation, you get a U.S. congressperson who everybody knows. He's very well known, going on TV a lot in the past few years, as a guest of all the different shows. He's very recognizable. Could this bring some negative? Because now everyone's going to dig into your business like they did last night on Fox.
First of all, we're a public charity. You can go on after the show and check our 990. We're totally transparent. You can see our investment returns. You can see how much people are paid and everything. So the spotlight doesn't really, not necessarily negative. I'm big on, what's the old saying in your business? I don't care what you say about me, but spell my name right.
Yes.
The awareness, helps. So I'm hoping through this interview that there's somebody out there who's got a nephew going to college next year to look up a scholarship. I'm hoping there's somebody out there whose aunt is doing their estate planning and said, gee, we want to leave some money to charity. This sounds like a good organization to steward that money. So I think that's positive. The politicizing part of it is something that you hear. And, I'll tell you what my answer is that, because people say, well, will he politicize the Rhode Island Foundation? So by definition, a sitting congressman is partisan. They're partisan every 5 minutes. Everything they do is as a member of a party. Mm-hmm. The Rhode Island Foundation is not partisan at all. That's where that term honest broker comes from. We take leadership positions, but we're not blue, red. We're not this left, right. We're here for every single Rhode Islander. When Congressman Cicilline gets here, he will lead an organization that is still nonpartisan. It will not all of a sudden become partisan. We have a very active board that guides us. I'm not concerned that the Rhode Island Foundation is all of a sudden going to become this or that because of what his positions in the past. We have our mission. We have our work. He will lead that. I think he'll bring tremendous national contacts here. Candidly, the gravitas of a sitting congressman being interested in leading the Community Foundation. As you said, you know, all of a sudden people are hearing about us that never heard about us before. So all that awareness, I'm a big believer that awareness raises more funds that we can use in the community. The more money we raise, the more good stuff we can do for the state of Rhode Island. It's really that basic. And we love working with people who want to give back in Rhode Island.
And where is Neil Steinberg going next?
On vacation. I'm getting old. I've been doing a lot of things. I've been very fortunate and very privileged that I've worked for three iconic organizations. I was president of Fleet Bank and worked there for 25 years. I headed fundraising at Brown University, and then I came here. And so, you know, it's as good as it gets. This has been the best job I've ever had, and I've never worked so hard in my life. Now it's just time to slow down a little and to be able to manage my own time. So I haven't really had time to focus on it yet, but as of June 1st, you know, I'm going to have a relaxing summer. I'll do whatever transition needs to be done and certainly help. But I'm not leaving the state. I will stay active in areas of interest and where there's need. I'll go on some boards. I may do some teaching or writing. I don't have anything specific, but I'm not looking to fill up every minute of every day. And I'll be able to not have to just listen to you, Tara, when I'm in the car. I can actually sit at home and listen to you.
All right. Well, there's one. Kidding. All right. Listen, Neil Steinberg, I appreciate your time and best of luck with everything.
Thank you very much. And thanks, Tara, for highlighting this.
You got it. Thank you.